Father, we thank you we can meet. In your name, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the variety in your word, always something to speak to each of us. And today, Lord, with a great, great, great psalm, all focused on you, Lord, not on us. And we've had a number of the psalms with David fearful and oppressed and the wicked upon him and all, and we can relate to that so easily. But Lord, here's a psalm today, just praising you, thanking you for our salvation and your providence, your blessings. And Lord, how we need that, how we need that. Help us to praise you today, Lord, and to bless your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many people did you sincerely, humbly tell yesterday that God is good? I mean, some of you are signs. That's good. But the best sign is your life. And all you hear, all you get from the world is bad. All you get from the world is there's no God. And if there is a God, he doesn't know what's going on, right? And I would normally like to hear our president, a president of the United States, quoting scripture. But we did hear that this week from President Biden in using the word Armageddon. That if Russia uses nuclear weapons, Armageddon. And what does he mean by that? Nobody knows. He either didn't know what he was saying, or he's implying that if Russia uses any nuclear weapons, we're going to respond and wipe out the world. I don't think he means that. Maybe he does. I don't know. But at any rate, and our governor quotes scripture when he's advertising abortion, that no love has a greater than this, and he gives his life for his friends. This is for abortion? I mean, so we need to get back. We need to get back to what's important. And so here's this Psalm 65, which is just such a pleasant psalm. The word you capitalize is more than the number of verses in this psalm. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, or you could say in the church. And to you, the vow or the promised deed of praising shall be performed. Will it really be performed in your heart, praising him? O you who hear prayer, think of that. And I will just have one after the other today, which is just so over the top. And I don't know how often I think of it, but not often enough. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide forgiveness. Words used here in the New King James, atonement for them. So I wanted to begin with this old song, This is My Father's World, and in my listening ears all nature sings, and around me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, rest me in the thought. So I couldn't find any renditions that I liked. I couldn't find, I got a lot of instrumentals here, but I don't have many vocals. So we'll just do our own, okay? We'll use our own choir. And we will sing, okay? This will be the Saturday morning choir. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, and rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white,
Declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied. Earth and heaven be one.
Amen. Now, that's the best choir I heard so far. How true that is, that though the wrong seems so strong, God is the ruler yet. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven shall be one. So, as we sing this psalm, as we say this psalm, again repeating verse 1, praise. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you the vow, promise, shall be performed. To you. You know, all of my prayers are the other way around. I'm going to stand on your promises, God. I'm going to stand on your promises to me. And that's good. But there's kind of a nice change here of giving promises to Him, isn't it? To you, it shall be done. O you, now again, think of this. O you who hear prayer. You know, all over the world today, maybe as many as a billion people are praying to Allah. They're praying to a God that is not a God. Or the Hindus, another billion, praying to something that's not God, who does not hear any prayers because there's no God. But we have a God who hears prayers. How thankful are you? How thankful am I? How little do I pray really in earnest, recognizing who I'm praying to? But O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Just think of all of those little rebellious people running around shaking their fists, there's no God, and if there is a God, it's me. Every one of them, the knee will bow. All flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you provide covering, is this word atonement, but this now can be updated for us in the New Testament, since Christ, we don't just have our sins covered, do we? We have them taken away. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is so glorious. That's something that David never would experience, having his sins really taken away. You could have them covered. The atonement covered, the kofar covers. But now we have the Messiah who not only forgives our sins, but takes them away. And then verse 4, blessed is the man you choose. Wow, what does that mean? Well, we kind of know what it means. I mean, all of you know what it means, but I mean, some of the world knows what it means. But John 15:16, we read, you did not choose me. Jesus speaking. This is in red, by the way. Some people say, well, I only pay attention to what's in red. Well, this is red. You didn't, I don't mean you guys do it, but some people do. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Well, again, a lot of people have a real problem with that. What do you mean God chooses? Well, does not God have the right to do whatever he wants? And does not God know who the winners are? He knows everything about everything, always has and always will. He can't learn anything. But here it says, blessed is the man you choose. And how true that is. How happy are you? When's the last time you really thanked God for your salvation? For God choosing you? My, I can't even imagine the significance of that. Blessed is the man. What an understatement that is. You chose, or you choose, and caused to approach you. You're all here this morning because you got drawn by the Spirit. I can assure you, none of us have anything in of ourselves that is consistently good. Even saved, we're still have desperately wickedness in the mortal body. That will change, but it hasn't yet because we're still breathing. And caused to approach you that he may dwell in your courts or in your house. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house. I often think we don't pray enough for the church. I'm talking about the true church. I'm not talking about the church the world knows. I'm talking about the true believers. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, or the goodness of coming to you, or the goodness of just here this morning worshiping you. How wonderful that is. Of your holy temple or of your sanctuary, by awesome deeds. And I think I've mentioned before, the word awesome, I would prefer, I never hear that used by anybody other than referring to God. And we've cheapened so many words. We've taken God's love and made it into something ugly. We've taken awesome and, you know, oh, this is an awesome pizza, or it's an, you know, whatever it is. Well, I don't think that's really the meaning of the word, but his awesome deeds, can you relate to that? By awesome deeds in what? Righteousness. Think of that. The awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us. So when you pray, how does he answer? By awesome deeds in righteousness. Wow. And then referring, O God of our salvation. You are the confidence of all the ends of the earth, that is, of the believers, not of the unbelievers, yet, and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength. Now, we don't see up close here in Southern California the big mountains, but they are really pretty close because we can still see them on a clear day, can't we? We can't really see the, you know, whatever it is, height mountain in full until we get closer to it. But it's still a big pile of dirt, isn't it? I mean, when you start to look at that and you think, wow, you know, if we just had a backhoe, we could start building our own mountain, you know, and maybe in 10,000 years we would get it up to, you know. But I mean, here are these mountains and, you know, you go to maybe other places, the Rockies or the Alps or wherever, and it's just, you stand in awe, right? It's just stand in awe of what he has done. You established the mountains by your strength, being clothed in power. Where's the power? Where's the power? Being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas. I think of Mark 4, I think it's 39, where he was sleeping in the boat, and the boat was sinking, and water was coming in, and he got up, and he said, peace. Be still. Immediately the sea was calm. That's amazing, supernatural, because the wave action doesn't leave immediately. It will slow down, taper down, but all that energy, peace, be still. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. Wow, how I need that. Get all stirred up, and then I get my mind on him, and all of a sudden, there is the peace. There is the peace. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. Yes, there's some awareness, particularly think of the tribal areas around the world. You know, they're not sophisticated like we are. But they know there's a God. They don't have the right God, maybe, but they know there's a God. That's just put in us, really, until we take it away through other things. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. When's the last time you just stood in awe of a sunrise? Or of a sunset, right? Isn't that what that says? Outgoings of the morning, sunrise. And of evening, rejoice. You know, we've said this before, but, you know, if we only had one sunrise in our life, or one sunset in our life, if everybody only had one, and let's say, well, it's this next Thursday, you think everybody would be up to watch the sunrise? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. Here's a good one. Verses 9 through 10, the hydrological cycle of water on the earth. You visit the earth and water it. Now, all you hear in California now is, oh, we don't have any water. We don't have any water. God has forgotten us. I imagine he has. But where'd the water go? Do you know how many tons? I know you don't, because who could? But the estimate of how many tons of water fall on the face of the earth every 24 hours. Think high. 1.5 trillion with a T, tons of water, fall every 24 hours. Well, where's the water? We don't have any water. Now, there are places where the water doesn't get distributed to all the time. And you remember in the Bible, God took the people out of the bondage of Egypt, where they would water the crops with, what did it say, a foot pedal or whatever it was to get the Nile River there. He says, I'll put you in a land where I'll provide the rain. You won't have to pump it. And it'll always be there as long as you're recognizing who it came from. But the day you don't, I'll turn it off. And so God would send droughts. I mean, think of Elijah. 3.5 years of drought. Many droughts. Think of Abraham having to, in a way wrongfully, but go to Egypt. But there were these droughts that would, God would give Israel droughts. He would give and he'd take away. He would give and he would take away for their good, to remember who he was. Now, we are so impervious to all of that with our cleverness, right? The most wicked in the world, no, not worried at all. Turn on the water, better come out now. And I better turn the light on, it better come on now. And I turn the air conditioner on, it better come on now. And I got a lake in my pain, the hospital better be open now. Isn't that the way we're living? Rather than saying, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. But you visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it. Think of the minerals. Think of the oil. I mean, we are so ignorant of what God has provided us. But he's greatly enriched it. The river of God is full of water. What a statement. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain. I remember back when I was in grade school, there were those spreading the news that by the year 2000, there would be so many people that it'd be impossible to feed them, and everybody would starve to death. I don't know if you ever heard that. I don't think you believed it, or at least I didn't believe it. But I didn't know. I mean, who am I, a little farm boy? I'd never seen beyond, you know, the horizon, what's out there. But at any rate, he provides, doesn't he?
Yes.
He provides. You provide the grain, for you have so prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers, talking about the earth. Isn't that amazing? What do? We try to dig a hole in dry ground. We can't even get the shovel in. So what do? Sometimes dig a little hole and fill it with water and wait till the next day. And then, you can dig down another 6 inches before it gets hard again because you've got caliche or whatever. But you make it soft with showers. And then this, you bless its growth. You bless its growth. And then verse 10, you crown the year with your goodness. Just think of that. And your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. You know, as I read this, I can hardly think about all of the ugliness out there in the world, because this is the real thing right here, isn't it? This is the real thing. It's not saber rattling and control and all of this stuff that we see the world always fighting and so forth. But here we have the hills rejoicing on every side, the pastures clothed with flocks, the valleys also covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Oh, could we be a little more like grain? That we would shout for joy and sing. Father, we thank you for this psalm, and we thank you how we need to get our eyes off of self and off of the world and onto you, and just knowing that you're good, so good, and you hear our prayers, Lord, and you want us to pray. Lord, I pray this morning our prayers would primarily be to you. And often, Lord, my prayers are almost all about me. But Lord, there are times, like all the time, I guess, we should really recognize who we're praying to. We should really recognize who you are and who we are. And we should recognize that we don't know what's ahead, but we know you do. You know the end from the beginning, and we know you love us so much you would never leave us nor forsake us, and you have bought us with your blood. Now, having died for us, will you not also freely give us all things that we read in Romans 8:32, Lord? So here we are, Lord. We just want to praise you. We just want to thank you. And we just want to open our hearts to you. Lord, it says in the beginning that you will be blessed by our praise. And so, Lord, may we bless you today with our prayers, in our prayers, through our prayers, and in our hearts, really. And if there's times of quiet, oh, help us, if we're going to break the quietness, come out with something for you rather than something of ourselves, Lord. Not necessarily trying to direct prayers, but Lord, just that we would honor you. We would just honor you this morning and all the time, really, but we would just honor you. So lead us now by your Spirit in Jesus' name. So we come to the end of the hour here, just remembering how we started. Praise is awaiting you, O God, O you who hear prayer. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts, so we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your holy temple. Let's sing this song that we have sung before. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll bless your holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. May we take your precious word with us. May we even take that song with us. And if we want to burst out singing that in the middle of the grocery line or wherever, or just silently, as the case may be, Lord, may we praise you. May we bless you. May we have a heart filled with thanksgiving all this day and every day until you take us home. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord. You've given us two eyes. Help us to keep both of them on you. And when we have to take one of them off to see where we're going in this world, let us keep at least one of them on you. Bless each one who's here, Lord, because they came. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.